I am not drunk yet.
He's working on it.
But I need to be. Oh, that daughter of mine is a charmer.
Hello, internet.
Did I tell you guys about the there's a website, whymychildiscrying.com?
Yes. Oh my God, I've seen that.
I missed this one.
I can't look at that website because there's so much snot involved. Like so many kids with snot bubbles. I can't even like I can't look at it.
I was
snorting.
I was so tempted to take a picture of my daughter balled up on the floor, face down.
Was there snot?
Crying. No, probably not. She actually doesn't get too snotted up when she's not sick.
Oh, you're so lucky.
But she was just balled up on the floor and crying. And why was my daughter crying?
Uh-oh.
One of the balloons that I blew up for her to play with wasn't as big as the other one.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
This one's not as big as the other one. Well, sweetie, there's nothing I can do with that. You can't untie the balloon. And you have two balloons. Play with them both. You like balloons. Gosh. They're fun.
Future OCD.
You know what that... I have to tell you, I'm probably going to get responses from women, but that is what PMS feels like.
Yes.
Because... PMS, like not everybody gets PMS, but when you have PMS and like you feel, and thank God we're all like adults and mostly control ourselves, you get like these like bizarre emotional responses to like bullshit, like just nonsense. And you're thinking, why am I crying at this like stupid commercial? Or why am I crying about, you know, having to do laundry? It's like you just lose it for no reason. And that is exactly what PMS is like.
Or being a three-nager.
Yeah, or being a three-year-old. Yeah, wow.
So basically a three-year-old is continually PMSing.
Maybe, pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much.
Maybe.
Like that dead ball.
I mean, you think about it, I'm sure... At that age, there is so much going on at one time, developmentally, physiologically. Well, there's probably analogies.
The big thing about it is, though, is the term that is used, and it's a cutesy term, but let me tell you, it's dead balls on. It's three-nager. And it is absolutely the exact same thing. When you're a teenager, your hormones are raging, your body's doing all this changing. All this stuff's going on, and also at the same time, culturally, you're almost but not quite an adult.
Right. You're almost autonomous, but not quite.
Yeah, but not quite at all. And on top of that, like when you think back of, oh, when I was 17 years old. No, I was a fucking idiot. If I had been given like complete free range of my life as I felt that I obviously needed, I would have killed myself or done some horrible, irreversible damage to my life. And the same thing goes with like when like a three-year-old is there. She's still technically a toddler, but not quite. She's almost, getting to be a big girl and getting there. And it's just insanely frustrating. Plus, again, just growing rapidly. And so therefore I'm drinking.
And you have 10 more months before she starts preschool.
I have more like 20 more months.
Oh no.
Because she's born in October.
My mother put me in preschool a year early.
Right? Yes.
My mother put me in preschool when I was three.
Because with our kids.
Because she could not stand me any longer. She needed a break. So because
no, not you, Brita.
I stopped taking naps when I was two. And I went to preschool the following year. So I still don't nap. But she put me in preschool when I was three because she was like, oh no. Like everybody else had 1 year of preschool before kindergarten. Oh no, Brita had two.
Did you get kicked out of preschool, Brita? Is that what you're telling us?
No. I just had extra preschool because my mom needed a break from me. Thanks, Brita. Mom. Love you.
No, couldn't be. There's absolutely no resemblance to the spirited librarian I'm talking to, and that spirited child is asleep upstairs.
No. Oh, Rita? Good luck, buddy.
Rita.
Yes. Yes.
About the sinuses hurts.
Okay, yes. I have to make an announcement.
Okay.
Based on
you're pregnant.
No. Based on
he doesn't know who the father is.
Based on recent news reports, we cannot confirm that Hillary Clinton is still alive.
Well, I have seen recent video of her. I still cannot confirm she's alive.
She was hiking in the woods.
Did you see her? Like, what was it, today or whatever it was?
Yeah. I think it was today.
Oh, I was hearing. Yeah. I couldn't find that. Do you have access to that image?
She looks like an holy animated corpse.
She looks like Skeletor.
She does. She looks like the freaking Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
It's not a good look. She did not look like, you know what it is? Her hyperbaric chamber is down for repair.
Well, I'm thinking whatever drugs they had her on to get her over the line for the election, they had to stop.
Well, you know what the real problem is? They're not campaigning anymore. So right. Bill's around more, which means they can't get blood from virgins anymore.
Oh, Bill's around more. Bill Clinton hasn't been in the same country. He's in fucking, what is it, Theo Epstein? What the fuck's that?
Pedophile Island.
I just want to know who Hillary's makeup artist was during the campaign, because they were great.
Thomas Kincaid.
it's remarkable, really. And if you look at the photo, wow, the power of eyeliner, people.
Yeah.
Well, Hillary is what? Almost 70 years old.
Though, to be fair, the lighting is drastically different and probably the color grading is different on both of those. So, sure. I mean, I'm looking at how sallow her eyes look and I'm on one of those like that's.
She's probably been drunk for a whole week. Did you hear the story that she went into like a violent drunken rage?
Oh yeah.
The night of the election.
That's why she
figured out she was losing.
Yeah, that's why.
And that's why she didn't show up for the party.
Yep. Exactly.
Like she was throwing shit around and attacking people.
Oh, man, she should have showed up for that. Oh, that would have been just so awesome of just the I mean, we had that with Teresa Hines. She showed up at John Kerry's concession speech drunk out of her fucking skull. Me
Teresa.
Yeah.
Yeah, she sent and even Leon Panetta couldn't make a good concession speech. He was like, even he couldn't say, oh, it's, you know, it's over. He was like, you know, y'all go home and come back later. That right there is the nail. That right there is the end of Hillary. I mean, she couldn't even do the thing that
John Kerry did it and he was 1,000 years old.
Well, I hate to sound
John
like
McCain
a,
did it and he was 1,000 years
to,
old.
I hate to sound like a sexist pig.
Mm-hmm.
But the first serious female candidate for president, and the second time she loses, she's too busy throwing a fit to come out and thank her supporters.
Well, you can't blame it on PMS.
Well,
she's
no, of course not.
But, and to be fair, like, I mean, despite all of her corruption, she is at least, a serious female candidate because, again, sure. Barack Obama clearly can say, no, a lot of people voted for Barack Obama because he was black.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people talked about how cool it was that Hillary Clinton was a woman and was going to be the first woman president. But nobody voted for Hillary Clinton because she was a woman.
Well, actually, lots of people did.
I'm sure lots of people did, but not
enough to get her in office.
It's well, I would hope that a lot more people care about you know an African American becoming president than a woman becoming president, because it's one of those like, yeah, it's a woman. Who cares? They're doctors and lawyers and everything. But black people,
well,
oh my God, they're so oppressed under the heel. Because, I mean, even the social justice warriors don't believe the women make like 6 cents on the dollar. Or maybe they do.
Rita's gone awfully quiet.
No,
I'm just listening. taking notes.
she's reloading.
Well, here's the thing, as I've said before, I don't care whatever your issue is for voting for a president. It's fine. It honestly doesn't matter. I mean, everybody has reasons to vote for somebody or not to vote for somebody, and it doesn't matter. If you voted for Obama because he was black and it was the first black president, then that's fine. If you voted for Hillary because she's a woman, or you voted against her because she's a woman, that's fine too. But people were voting for Hillary because she was the first woman candidate. And to justify it to themselves, they were also saying things like, oh, she's awesome. She's the best possible candidate. She's the most, she's the most wonderful thing there ever was, which is, you know, I mean, even her own staff didn't like her.
Well, right. And to be fair, they had to say that, because to say that Hillary Clinton is a lousy candidate, is a weak candidate, is going to be a candidate. I mean, say what you will about the Republicans. The Republicans are at least good at saying, all right, cool, here's our nominee. They're an absolute piece of shit.
Right. But it's his turn.
But it's his turn. Exactly. He won. And to be fair, he won fair and square.
Right.
To say Hillary Clinton is a piece of shit, you have to openly admit that she's a piece of shit. She's not the person that the people chose.
No.
And she and the Democrat Party is a complete corrupt system. And I got to launch off on there. Here's my segue.
Stand back, everybody. We're going to break out a
here
rant.
We have. Yeah, a candidate that was chosen by secret committee, done entirely by bribes and underground stuff, is an open and unrepentant criminal. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, say what you will about the FBI. You know, we're not going to press charges. The FBI, in all of their statements, admits that she was breaking the law.
Yes.
And she openly admits that she was breaking the law.
They just can't find anybody willing to charge her with anything.
Exactly. And then, so you've got that. You've got unrepentant criminal, became the nominee by secret committee over, I would say Bernie Sanders would have easily won the nomination had there been no back channel funny business.
Well, if there hadn't been superdelegates, he would have won.
Yes. Yeah. Cause he won the first several primaries, and then Hillary stole all the delegates all the time. And then oddly enough, people stopped voting for him because right. Why bother?
Exactly. The fix was in and everybody knew it.
Exactly. And so that was a major chilling effect on Bernie. So he did start falling away even without funny business towards the end of the primaries. But I would say that was because
they bought him a house.
They were also blackmailing him.
Blackmailing him? They bought him a fucking house.
No, I mean, they were blackmailing him during the before the campaign. They had they had leverage on him. They talked about it in the Podesta emails.
Really? What did they have in Bernie Sanders? I mean, his wife bankrupted a fucking college. Nobody cared.
What did they have on Bernie?
Nobody knows, but
they talked about
the leverage they had on him in the emails, and
he's one of the Jews.
They actually went so far as to say somebody needs to remind him of our agreement and the leverage we have on him.
Ooh.
And that was in one of the Podesta emails. So,
I wonder.
Yeah.
All right. So there we've got the shady business of the upper echelon of the Democrat Party.
Is Bernie Sanders a Jew?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
so they weren't like promoting him as the first Jewish president?
I don't think he's practicing.
he's not. There's a lot of big talk that though I believe it was Bill Maher like directly
are you saying
asked him,
are you an atheist?
No, I'm saying that Democrats hate Jews.
Yes, they do, actually.
That's what I'm saying, is that they wouldn't promote the Jewish thing because Democrats hate Jews.
Well, they did it with Lieberman, though. I mean, they went fucking batshit insane over Joe Lieberman.
Before they burned him at the stake and threw him out of the party.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he said, you know, maybe this Bush isn't so vishugana.
That is
Oh, oh my God.
I'm going to hell.
Oh, that was awesome.
No, you can't, Shay. The Jews don't believe in Jesus.
Destined to be a ringtone.
But yeah, so, but on the other side of it, you've got, I mean, first up, everyone's like bitching about like Trump's talking about, I mean, how shady Hillary is. And there's all this talk on, you know, voter fraud going on, and you've got the Veritas visuals, you know, hidden camera stuff on Democrat officials actually talking about how they cook up voter fraud.
Mm-hmm. Plus all the people actually getting arrested for it.
Yes.
Democratic operatives getting arrested for perpetrating voter fraud. And they're still saying Donald Trump said he wouldn't accept the results.
Well, and that's it.
Donald Trump cheating their asses off. Yeah,
Donald Trump saying there's funny business here. I'm going to be very, very cautious when somebody tells me, you know, Mr. Trump, you've lost this, because, hey, guess what? Yeah, there's something's afoul here. And, you know, then meanwhile, it's the, oh, yeah, and these Trump supporters, they're all the crazy gun nuts. So they're going to overthrow the government if Donald Trump loses.
And then
Donald Trump wins. And what's happening probably right fucking now?
Riots.
And I don't even know how widespread these riots are. Like, if I Google a specific large city, I know Boston hasn't had any. Boston has had protests, but I don't think there's been any violence or property.
Well, that's because the protest tour hadn't got there yet.
Yeah.
They're bussing them around.
Yeah, that is true. That's true. But needless to say, this is very much like reeking of like turn of the century with these like roaming anarchist groups.
Well, I honestly believe that if Hillary had won, we'd still have riots.
Oh yeah, of course.
Because riots.
Yeah. What else are they going to do? It's not like they have to go to work in the morning.
It's not like they have a job.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I have to disagree. We wouldn't riot because we have jobs to go to.
No. I'm saying they would riot.
Yeah.
Oh.
In celebration.
Right.
Yeah.
What happened
when the Red Sox won the World Series?
Yeah, good point.
Wait, no. The Red Sox won, Jay. They weren't upset. They were happy.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but those don't
celebratory last. Rioting.
Those don't last a week. That's like one night.
Well, yeah, right. But they also weren't getting paid to do it like they are now.
Because then the Boston PD shoots you in the face with a paintball gun and kills you. So
right, but they were also doing it on their own time. They weren't getting paid to riot like they are now. I mean, these people are employees of Soros. I mean, these, you know, however many times removed the money line is, but I mean, this is, they're upfront about it. They're paying, they're putting ads in the paper and advertising for people to come riot.
Craigslist. They're putting ads out on Craigslist.
Yeah.
$25 to be a paid protester.
Right.
You get your money at the end of the protest.
Yeah. So
$25 a day.
Yeah.
Get a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Oh my God.
What does that tell you?
And I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I've done protests and rallies and things like that. It's
so much for that livable minimum wage, huh?
Yeah, exactly. A whole day for $25. I'm like, so, if you went and bagged groceries at the supermarket.
Though, to be fair, it's more than likely under the table.
Yeah, it's tax free.
How many junkies who?
Yeah.
I am not going to say everybody that's on welfare is dealing drugs. I will say everybody who's dealing drugs is on welfare.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Oh, I haven't made any money this year.
Yep.
And I might have cleared $80,000, you know, selling heroin. But hey, guess what? According to the IRS, I don't got nothing.
That's right.
So therefore, you should give me some food stamps because I this food and housing is cutting into my bottom line.
Well, the other thing the rioters are carrying on about, and I'm gonna segue into my big rant for the night. Yeah. They're going on and on about this, you know, well, Hillary won the popular vote.
Oh, dear sweet Jesus.
You know what? I think she only won the popular vote, including voter fraud.
Well,
I don't think she even did that.
That's probably the case. But the point of fact is the popular vote doesn't exist.
No,
there's no such thing. The people vote for the Electoral College. and you have winner take all state. So you have California, which is a winner take all state. There, Republicans don't bother to vote in California because there's no point.
That was one of the things I said early on in this, when I knew Donald Trump was going to be the nominee, is I said, hey, look, Alan and I, we don't have to fucking worry about who the fuck we vote, because our vote doesn't count worth any shit, because Texas went for Trump and Massachusetts went for Hillary. And guess what? Who predicted that? Everybody.
Right.
Right.
You know, it,
but meanwhile, Virginia and Ohio were
my vote counted.
Right.
Were legitimate surprises.
So you can't. So these people are like, oh, sign the petition because Hillary won the popular vote. Well, you can't take votes cast in an electoral college winner take all system and then apply them post hoc to a nationwide popular vote system.
You're a bunch of fucking anarchists.
But because I guarantee you, if the next presidential election, we scrapped the Electoral Congress and just went to, or the Electoral College, and went to a straight up nationwide popular vote, I guarantee you that more Republicans would vote in California, more Democrats would vote in Texas, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The way they game the thing and the way that they campaign would be totally different. So there is no popular vote. All these people that think, oh, Hillary won them, you know, she won. I mean, what they're talking about, California.
I don't think have they even counted like all the absentee
ballots? No, and they don't. So most states
don't count them.
They don't bother to count the absentee ballots unless the number of absentee ballots is greater than the vote difference between the two candidates.
Yeah.
So it's
pointless otherwise.
Right.
So again, the statement, since we don't have a popular, we don't even count all the ballots because there's no point.
Right.
Because guess what? It doesn't matter. Trump won that state or Clinton won that state. Who cares if there was, you know, 100,000 more Trump votes here or there? Because guess what? It's not going to change anything.
Hillary should think of it as the mercy rule, you know, like in Little League. You know, they stopped counting the electoral votes because Trump was so far ahead.
Right. So
he's the first Republican to get over 300 since George Herbert Walker Bush over Michael Dukakis.
Yeah.
You remember Snoopy in the tank?
Yeah, that guy. So you've got these petitions going around trying to convince the Electoral College voters to change their vote. That's not going to happen, people. It's just not, because you know how these things work, right? Each party.
No, they don't. That's the
problem. Each party selects their electoral voters. You have, like in Texas, I forget, what is it, 38 in California or something like that. However many it is. Each party selects their electoral voters. These are not just people randomly picked off the street and said, okay, now you got to go vote for Clinton, or no, you got to go vote for Trump. These are hardcore party stalwarts. These people are not going to vote for the other candidate. You got the Republican electors are not going to vote for Hillary.
It's just not going to happen. There was actually, I remember reading something about some of the Democrat electors have said that, you know, if they get released from their obligation to vote Democrat, then they're not voting for Hillary.
Right.
Well, that's essentially different. Again, the fix was in, it was gone through. It turned out that, yeah, no, she's not super duper popular. And no, they're not going to be getting those huge favors. Oh my God. Has that just been just keeping me rock goddamn hard since the election, is thinking about how many people had promissory notes from Hillary Clinton that just went bust.
Oh yeah.
How many people had Enron stock in Hillary Clinton?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You read all these sob stories from people that are like, you know, oh, I supported Hillary and I was going to apply to work in her campaign, and I guess I have to go do something else now. Woe is me. You know, damn.
if you're applying to work in Hillary's campaign, you don't have any job skills. So no, you're not. You're gonna go work someplace else on the couch watching soaps.
Be a barista.
Barista.
No, those people fuck up a mochaccino like nobody's business.
You know what has been bothering me is I saw a news article, and it was the day after the election. And I can't remember where it was. It was like either where the Hillary staffers or like some sort of Washington, D.C. office, like government thing. I don't remember what it was, but it was like these people were adults and they had government jobs in Washington, D.C.
Adults in scare quotes.
Right. But the next day after the election, somebody decided to bring in therapy dogs. And there's an article about it. You can Google it. And these people are like, oh, I feel so much better now. And like they were all like hugging the dogs and like having a group cry together. And what bothers me about it is that these people feel that they're qualified to tell me what to do.
Oh, yeah.
That's what pisses me off. You are like these weak, sissy, emotional, irrational,
stupid
bullshit people. And you think you are qualified to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Well, they're college educated, Brita. Believe me.
I'm college educated.
Well, you can't be.
Not that it matters at all.
You're in Iowa State. You can't possibly be college.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like there's this, and
why won't those dumb cousin humping rednecks vote for us?
Right, and that I think is the core of it. Where I don't think the election was about Democrats versus Republicans. I think it really was like the people versus these elitist shitheads. That like are controlling the culture and the media and the news
and the people they buy off with the welfare money.
And it's yes. And the people that, yeah. And it's just like the normal people are like, what the fuck is going on?
And there's, you pointed that out too, is Jay brought it up more of the, is the, you know, oh, this whole like college educated being thrown around so much. I'm sorry.
As if all degrees are equal.
Yeah, oh, tell me, let's take two people. One person has a master's degree in ancient Egyptian, the ancient Egyptian language, and another person graduated high school or dropped out of high school to go work in the family business. You know, and one of them's $250,000 in debt. To get a degree that has absolutely no real world applications, and the other one is in business. Which one's the idiot?
Right.
You know, I understand. I mean, I went to college. Yeah. And I'm number one. I went to a cheap state school because I ain't going to spend a gazillion fucking dollars on a goddamn education, whether I need it or not, you know, but I also had my eye on the prize, but I knew so many people. I knew so many people in school who were just told by their guidance counselors, oh man, you got to go to college. You got to get that degree. Otherwise you're just going to be a complete waste of fucking space. And they would be 2 or 3 years in and not have declared a major. They don't even know what the fuck they're doing.
Party.
They're just
wasting money.
And believe it or not, most of the ones that I followed, couple of them at the last minute came up with a degree plan and got themselves a degree. And I don't think that worked out to their benefit either, but a whole bunch of them ended up just like going, fuck it. The money ran out and they dropped out. And maybe some of them got jobs good enough to, you know, maybe they had enough skills that they didn't learn in college that they could go through and make enough money to eventually pay off their college loans. But a lot of them, no, they're going to die with those college loans. How smart is that?
No.
Can I just say how much those sad, pathetic people holding up the thing. I borrowed $25,000. I've paid $43,000. I still owe whatever. I'm sorry.
Oh my
God. It's not my fault you're bad at math.
Right.
Seriously. Oh my God.
It's like me saying I ran up 10 grand on my credit card. I've paid 15 grand on my credit card, but I still owe. Yeah, you're paying the minimum amount.
Right.
That's how
you're an idiot. Yeah.
Everything works.
People that are bad at math. Clearly, your degree was not in math, sir.
Yeah, obviously.
Or finance, or anything else.
If you have a degree in math, you also have a job.
That's probably right.
Because guess what? That's one of those cool degrees that gets you a fucking job.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before. You know, the whole stupid thing that the idiots did when they looked around. You know, because you know historically, there was two things you needed a degree for: a doctor and a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Then they started opening up these teacher colleges everywhere to train teachers. And, you know, then they started, you know, the progression, you know, but even back in the 60s and 70s, most people didn't go to college. It was still a, you know, if you graduated with any kind of degree from college, it was a pretty elite thing. But this was back when there were no really college loans. You had the GI Bill after World War II, which is where most of the damage happened. But then they looked around and they said, hey, people with college degrees make a lot more money than people without college degrees. We need to send more people to college. Let's completely ignore the fact that those people who had college degrees that were making more money probably would have been successful without the college degree.
Yep. Maybe just have the college degree as an elite badge of honor.
Right. I mean, these are already smart people. So then you start ratcheting down, and the worst thing you can do to somebody is to send them to college that they're not qualified for, convince them to take on a lifetime load of debt for something you know they're not going to be successful at. It's like creating wage slaves. I mean, you're creating these people that are going to be paying this interest that's not dischargeable in bankruptcy for the rest of their fucking lives.
That's the big hard thing is, I mean, those are the government college notes. The governments are.
And who wins? The colleges, the universities win because they get all that sweet money and they don't, you know, somebody comes to school for 2 or 3 years, blows a shitload of money, and then drops out. Okay, they don't care.
Yep.
And the people that give the loans win because they get a guaranteed return with no, you know, can't be discharged in bankruptcy. They own their ass. Anybody, you know, anybody acquires any assets, they can just take it because, you know, tough shit.
You know, you hit on something that I find interesting, Alan, that people love to talk about the banks, the evil banks loaning money to these students. And, oh, well, it's because they make these loans that they go so far into debt. It's a crime. It's a tragedy, blah, blah, blah. Nobody stops and says, hey, why does a state college cost 30 grand a year?
Because a bazillion people want to go there. That's why. And they can keep jacking up the rates as long as the student loans are there. It doesn't matter how expensive it is. The stupid kids that are borrowing the money, they don't care because they don't understand how expensive that's going to be.
Right. Oh no! It's very much like the big problem with healthcare is there's no direct payer.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why if you pay cash for an MRI, it's a few hundred bucks. If your insurance company, you know, they oh man, now we're getting off into healthcare. just stop. Brita, tell us about the gun show, please.
I went to a gun show last weekend.
Woohoo! Were the prices a lot cheaper than you would have otherwise expected?
I don't know. I don't touch prices. No, but everybody was in super good mood. Everybody's really friendly at a gun show anyway, but it was like, there was this kind of feeling of, phew, we kind of dodged a bullet there.
Well,
I see what you did there.
No pun intended.
I love that the Democrats are going, first up, everyone's saying, oh my God, the stock market's going to take an absolute shit and all that. Like, even my financial planner, who's not a nut, he's not a nut. I don't know where he sits politically, but he's somewhat centrist, wherever it may be, and all that. And he got an email. He sent me an email like the morning after Wednesday morning after the election, going, yeah, just so we're going to stay the course. We've got a plan for action. Your money's in good hands.
Well, that's because the futures dropped 700 points overnight.
Yeah.
Everybody expected it to go down, but then it didn't.
And then it went way up.
Yeah. Record highs.
But of course, one thing that people are talking about is Smith & Wesson and Sturm Ruger, their stocks took a major shit after Trump got elected.
Well, no. Yeah.
And guess who couldn't be happier about that? Smith & Wesson and Sturm Ruger.
Yeah.
Yes, our stocks take a shit. But guess what? We will be able to make rifles in perpetuity, right? Versus
they're not going out of business in 2 years.
Yeah. Let's make money while we can. Let's make hay while the sun's still up.
Right.
So yeah, no, they don't care. They can keep making concealed carry guns. They can still keep making black rifles. They can still keep making standard capacity guns.
So who did you see at the gun show?
Hayden.
Ooh, I saw that. Yay.
Hayden showed up at the gun show because, you know, he lives in Ohio and kind of nearish to us, meaning not on the other side of the state. So he showed up at the gun show, and honestly, I kind of thought maybe he'd show up, but then I was like, well, I don't know, you know, whatever. But then I'm walking around and I see this man, and the first thing I saw was he was wearing the Squirrel Report shirt. So I was like, hey, wait a minute. I recognize that shirt. And it was Hayden. And we had a lovely visit. It was the first time I had ever met him. And boy, is he so British. Let me just say, he's super polite and super British and just lovely. And we had like a really kind of cool experience because he told me when you know, I asked him, I said, are you here? Are you looking for anything? You know, are you going to buy anything? And he told me that he was looking for Lee Enfields.
Ah!
Oh, okay.
And it's a British rifle, right?
Oh yeah.
So we're walking around and we're kind of in the area where it's not like the dealer section. It's like, you know, kind of the collector and bits and pieces section of, you know, like you can buy parts and, you know, whatnot. But anyway, so we're walking around and we turn around and there is a table of Lee Enfields. And it was kind of neat because one of the gentlemen who was selling the rifles was from the same, he was also English.
Oh, wow.
And he lived near to where, I guess, Hayden's hometown is. So it was kind of like this serendipitous kind of thing where, you know, you've got this British guy and this other British guy and they meet over Lee Enfields and it was kind of cool.
And they're buying up all our guns.
Yeah. But yeah, they talked a while and I don't know what's going to happen. I hope he gets his rifle, but so it was fun. And I finally got to meet our foreign correspondent.
All right.
Hayden. Yeah, it was good.
He is insanely nice.
He is super nice. And he sent me a text message today and he said that he's back in England now. And he's looking forward to playing this episode for his coworkers in England. And I just cannot even imagine what they think of us. And I mean, aside from you and you know, Jay and Weird sounding alike. I don't know. So hello, England.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. So we have two countries now, England and China.
We should talk about England so we can prove we know absolutely nothing about the nation. And they can laugh at our ignorance.
Well, you know, they've been saying, I've heard over and over that this Trump election is kind of like Brexit part
two. It
is.
It really is.
Because
for a lot of the same reasons.
A lot of the same reasons. Yeah. It's very interesting.
Yep. And it was a stealth support. You know, people, mm-hmm. people, you know, they went into Brexit with the same sort of thing. Oh yeah, it's going to lose massively. And everybody was predicting it was going to lose massively. And even, Nigel, Farage, isn't that his name? Nigel Farage,
I don't know how to pronounce that last name, but yes, Farage. It's Nigel.
I think it's Farage.
Something, yes.
The UKIP guy. He was like, oh well, we gave it a good try, and he was talking like they were going to lose, and then boom, overnight, the next day, it's like woohoo, and turns out Brexit won it, and the Trump thing was pretty much the same thing. They went into it like, you know, you mean up to like noon. Early afternoon in the election, Hillary, it was a lock, you know, and the day before, I think it was the day before, she canceled her victory fireworks, and everybody's mm-hmm. like,
that was the first clue.
That was the first clue in hindsight. Yeah. I mean, at the time it was like, well, why'd she do that? That's bizarre. And, I think, cause you know, these campaigns, they do internal polling that's not skewed. And they try very hard to make it accurate as possible for their own purposes. And those are the polls they don't release. I suspect she knew she wasn't going to win. That's why she took, remember that she posted that, that Twitter pic of her hugging that little girl going, no matter what happens, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then by 9:30, even the New York Times was calling it for Trump. I mean, you know, CNN took till like 2 a.m. to call it, but you know, it was by 9:30 p.m. It was anybody with half a brain knew Trump was going to win.
None of us could really believe it.
Oh yeah, it was like what?
I remember it was like I was kept on looking at it. I'm like, oh my god,
yeah,
oh my god, and Jay, your reaction was just so funny.
What?
Well, because you were convinced Hillary was going to win, and you were all like down about it, and oh, you know, we're doomed, and you just were like, "What the fuck? Oh my god!" Well, I remember seeing your reaction online, and you were just flabbergasted. It was great. I
really did not think she was going to let it get that Trump was going to be so far ahead she couldn't cheat her way in.
Right. I think that for. Whether it was intentional or accidental, the combination of the steady drip, drip, drip of criminality for WikiLeaks. I mean, think back 4 months ago when you thought Hillary was, you know, she was kind of sleazy, but she was a regular politician and, you know, not much difference between her and Trump, blah, blah, who cares? Fuck it. And then just like drip, drip, drip. Drip, drip. By the time election week rolled around, she was looking like fucking Lex Luthor. She was like this like horrible, horrible criminal mastermind that was just, you know, doing all this horrific shit. And, you know, it's like, holy crap. I mean, you know, I started off really anti-Trump. And then by a few weeks before the election, I was like, fuck, you know, this Hillary's so much more awful than anybody could possibly imagine. There's no way we can let her win. And I suspect a lot of other people had the same kind of reaction. They were, you know, they were kind of ambivalent about it. And then this steady drumbeat of Clinton criminality kept going on. And people were like, fuck.
Well,
you know, unless you were a hardcore Democrat, you know, how could you possibly vote for something like that?
I have to tell you that I was not sure who I was going to vote for until I stepped up to the voting booth on election day. I was like, okay, I'm either voting for Gary Johnson or Donald Trump. I knew it was one of those. I obviously not voting for Hillary, but I tell you what, voting in Ohio is nerve-wracking because you feel like you really feel the weight of your vote. You're like, okay, this really matters.
Yeah, because of all of us on the show, yours is the only one that really did matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I stood there for a minute and I really thought about it. And I didn't know until that moment. And the thing that popped in my head when I was voting was I thought about Barack Obama and I thought, what was the first thing he did? Really, one of the first big things he did as president What was it? Do you remember?
Besides saying I won, screw you.
Beside that, no. Beside that.
Oh, oh God! He did the.
The stimulus.
Yeah, the horrible, horrible stimulus thing.
Like $1 trillion.
Yeah.
Trillion with a T. $1 trillion.
And then went on to repeat it every year thereafter because they never passed a budget.
I thought about that stimulus and I thought how awful it was because it did nothing. It wasted a lot of money. And I remember them crowing about it. And I remember them being so proud of like this stimulus bullshit that they did. And then they went on to, this Obamacare, which is basically screwing everybody in the country.
I thought you were going to go with cash for clunkers next.
Well, just say I'd forgotten about this. I completely forgot about the stimulus. I'd forgotten about cash for clunkers. I mean, I was thinking about one of the first things he actually did do, which I mean, we don't talk about, but it had to have happened not too long after he was inaugurated, was Fast and Furious started.
But we don't
know that for sure because he stymied the Freedom of Information Act.
Right.
I mean, he won't even.
So I started thinking about all this stuff and I thought, and I stood there and it was like early. We were there like 6:45 in the morning. I mean, it was early. And I stood there with my cup of coffee and I thought about it and I said, you know what? For the longest time, I've been saying to myself, okay, your vote doesn't matter. Who the hell cares? It's all over. The Republic is lost. And, what does it matter? And then I thought, you know what? The only thing I want is for her not to win.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I said, okay, I'm voting for Trump. Fuck it. I'm voting for Trump. And I know that I've said a numerous times on this show that I was like, oh, I'm not voting at all. Fuck it. I'm not voting. It doesn't matter. Whatever. And then I kind of started leaning like, I'm going to vote for Johnson. I'm going to vote third party. You know, at least I'm voting. And then when I got there, I was like, no, I can't do it. I can't. I just want her to not to win. Because I can't bear 8 more years. I remember I remember how bad the Obama administration was for us personally, for me and Mike, financially, personally, it was really bad. And I thought we can't do that again. And I just said, fuck it. Because what's the worst that could happen? Right. At least it's not Hillary.
We gave the chimpanzee an AK. What could happen?
Oh,
it's the other way around. Like, humor factor, right? You get the whole humor factor of Trump. Like, the media doesn't know what to do with itself now. Like, it's panicking because Trump went out for a steak dinner with his family and didn't tell them. They're like freaking out. They don't know what to do.
The outrage. How dare he go eat without us following him around?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Can I just kick the Johnson people one more time.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Pound the Johnson, Jay.
One thing I've been seeing, I swear to God, this is a thing. They are crowing that Johnson did so poorly, he didn't affect the election. That's a bonus to these people.
Oh my God.
Bro, it's not like he tipped the election. I'm like, that's because he got fucking dick. For votes, 3%. At an election where the libertarian should have gotten the viable third party candidate should have gotten 15% or more.
Yeah, but
the candidates were that bad.
He was not viable.
No.
Nominate this.
Well, fucking Bill Weld endorsed Hillary.
Yeah.
Right. I think Bill Weld voted for Hillary. Right.
I guarantee he voted for Hillary.
Well, it's not even like I like Trump. I don't like him really.
I'm liking him a lot more.
I'm just like, whatever.
I was so surprised.
I did not want her to win.
I did my grieving when I realized it was going to be down to these two idiots. And then, and went, all right, cool. I was going to vote for when Gary Johnson threw his hat in the ring, I was going to vote for him anyway. And yes, it went from being I'm actually going to vote for Gary Johnson to, I guess I'm going to vote for Gary Johnson. And but it was, you know, and so it's one of those, I've got, you know, there are silver linings for Hillary Clinton winning. There are silver linings for Donald Trump winning. And I kind of had them kind of lined up in the back of my mind. But of course, it's one of those, like, I don't know who's fucking winning. So, so you can say what you're going to think and how you're going to feel and what you're going to talk about. But when it's a, you know, when it's a contingency plan, it's not real. And then Donald Trump won. And I started saying all the silver linings behind it. And then now here's a big one is, have you guys all seen the press release on his Second Amendment coalition?
I have not.
Jay, you had to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he's got this, you know, it's number one, it's run by Don Jr., who's always been the one that the pro-gun people have been saying, no, man, his son's like a three gunner and hunter and all that. Like, no, he's one of us. So therefore, no, that doesn't mean Donald Trump's going to do anything right, but throw us under the bus. But except for now, all of a sudden, Don Jr. is now the head of this Second Amendment coalition for the Trump transition and Trump presidency. And it's got Chris Cox and Ronnie Barrett and a bunch of other people that are not just, oh yeah, no, those people are Second Amendment supporters. Oh no. Those people are the bomb throwing Second Amendment supporters. Those people are, let's cut the shit and actually get some stuff done, Second Amendment supporters. And I've got to bring up, of all of you fucking crybabies rioting in the streets, you know, there's the dude, in Brooklyn who was brought in for psychiatric evaluation because he tweeted, oh, how would the Second Amendment feel if I went and bought an assault rifle and started shooting people? Well, guess what? You live in New York. You're not allowed to. You can't just go buy a gun. And, you know, all the people in where was it? But there's all these states were like, oh, you know, there's unrest. I'm going to go buy a gun. No, you can't, because you live in a Democrat state. Not you can't do that anymore. Meanwhile, there's good talk, and I'm starting to believe the talk that Donald Trump's going to start rolling back a lot of the Second Amendment bullshit that's been going on for foreseeable memory.
He can roll back if he wanted to. He could roll back almost all the executive order crap,
mm-hmm.
The sporting purposes thing, the import thing, all the bullshit executive order crap that's gone on with the ATF. He can roll that back if he chose to. Yep. What he can't do,
he could make the Firearms Owner Protection Act actually fucking work,
right?
Because guess what? Yeah, he could send in the FBI the moment Chicago police arrest somebody because their flight was diverted, you know, diverted to O'Hare because of bad weather.
Right.
And we're unloading the luggage and there's your handgun.
Yeah. But be that as it may, what he can't do is enact any legislation. In order to do that, he has to get the GOP legislature to grow a fucking spine and write a bill.
Who's calling you?
I don't know. Some damn robocall, probably.
They're exit polling you.
I'll show them an exit poll.
Yeah. Mr. Andrews, so, we are led to believe that you're a racist misogynist and you want to kill Mexicans.
Only the illegal ones that are criminals. But the they have to pass a bill for him to sign it.
Yep.
Right.
The big question is, will they do that? And I have grave doubts. I mean, I want the NFA gone. I want the GCA gone. I want, you know, I mean, I want all that stuff, but come on.
I don't think it can all go, but again, I think one of the whole reasons why Barack Obama completely squandered his supermajority was because he was not a leader in the least.
No, he stood back and let Nancy Pelosi and fucking what's his name Reed do it.
He voted exactly. Present.
Yep.
And then he took And then he played a whole lot of golf while people that weren't even in his staff. Cause again, yeah, I get it. If you're the president or you're a senator or all that, no, you're not fucking doing half that shit.
No,
you have people doing that stuff. And so, but even that, he didn't have his people weren't even doing shit. Like the executive branch of the United States government run by Barack Obama had absolutely nothing to do with Obamacare, with the exception of the signature at the bottom of the bill.
Yep.
The only thing he did was he signed a fucking piece of paper that someone put in front of him.
That nobody ever read.
Exactly.
Even after.
As a matter of fact, the only thing the executive branch has done for Obamacare is pass illegal executive orders that make it so it isn't implemented in time.
Right. And all the exceptions and waivers and all that.
Yeah. So that's
doubling and tripling insurance premiums. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget?
But yeah. So, I mean, I definitely think, I mean, it's hard to say. It could be that, you know, after January 20th, Donald Trump goes directly on the Obama Express and retires at the golf course. He certainly enjoys a round of golf.
I don't see that happening
as much as that guy. Yeah. I don't either. I don't either. I definitely see him as, I mean, it's really kind of a Republican thing anyway, of the Republican executives fucking get down and people always say, you know, especially now after 8 years of Obama, I point out the fact that he was such a fucking lazy president of the, well, yeah, but he's just the executive. It's the House and Senate that do all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's not even a Republican thing. Bill Clinton was huge on fucking cracking the whip and getting them to draft bills and helping them draft bills and push stuff. I mean, you had Hillary Care. Yep. Was a bill written by the executive branch and then submitted to, I forget if it was the House or Senate, but anybody can write a fucking bill.
Well, yeah,
I could write a bill.
And well, send it, that's send the it. Thing is a lot of, most of the time the bill is written by somebody else. Mm-hmm. Very rarely write it themselves. They usually have like for instance, if it's a bill having to do with, you know, drug companies or something, they make the fucking drug companies write the bill.
Yes.
If it's something to do with broadcasters, the broadcasters, you know, if it's something to do with whatever, whoever's the most interested in it, it's usually the one that writes the bill. Imagine that. I mean,
the assault weapons ban was written by the Joyce Foundation.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, so we'll get a bill, you know, we've already got a bill to the Hearing Protection Act to remove silencers from the NFA. I'm sure that'll be reintroduced in the next, you know, Congress.
Was it the GCA? Which one was the one that Biden's daddy brought over from Germany?
Oh, that was the NFA.
NFA. So yeah, NFA was written by the Third Reich.
Right. So, I mean, of all the things I've heard, that could possibly happen. I think the silencer bill is probably the most likely to pass.
Hearing Protection Act.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot about safety. And I'm still hearing a lot of talk on the national reciprocity.
That's not going to happen.
Why do you think that's not going to happen? Cause I'll argue pretty strongly for that.
Because too many states that already allow concealed carry do not allow other states to have reciprocity for various reasons, let alone the, you know, California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, you know, all the Hawaii, all those states that are going to be against. Now, granted, there might not be enough opposition from those states, but you got enough people in the so-called red states that don't want it, that it's going to be a hard sell. I mean, that's going to be a hard sell.
Yeah. And all they got to do to kill it, and this is what worries me, is say, all right, we'll give you national reciprocity as soon as every state has New York style carry permits.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the thing. It's really easy to kill. And so, once you get, you don't want so
to. That could be said, but look at Illinois. I mean, look at DC. It's easier to carry a handgun in DC and Illinois than it is in New York.
Not DC.
Do they still have the crazy hoops?
Yeah, you can't carry them. You can have them in your house.
I thought they switched over to. I thought they were shall issue.
Nope.
No.
What happened then? I thought there was
it's shall issue for a permit to have one in your house.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Or, I'm sorry. I'm wrong with that one.
Which puts them better than Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes. Don't be sorry. I fucking live here.
So I mean. I'm gonna ask for everything, but realistically, I expect the silencer bill to pass. I expect some rollbacks on executive orders, and that's about it.
I think it'll be a pretty easy sell to at least get something rolled back for military bases.
No, that's gonna be a tough sell. That's not gonna happen. You know why?
I was backpedaling as soon as I was.
You know why? Because officers don't want their fucking men carrying guns around. They're scared to death of that.
Yep. Then that's totally because all it takes is one private gets drunk, shoots his roommate.
Right.
And now the whoever runs that base is up shit creek.
Right.
Or all it takes is one army psychologist. to get recruited by ISIS,
right,
and shoot up an entire motherfucking base.
Exactly.
Now that was workplace violence.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't see that happening at all.
Well, thankfully, Obama did actually cave after what, 3 fucking years, and admitted, oh yeah, I guess it was a terrorist attack. Just because the guy's an actual fucking terrorist doesn't mean it was a terrorist attack. So that people could get the fucking purple hearts they deserve. Because guess what? Yeah, no, that's fucking, you're wounded in the line of duty.
During a war.
War on drugs?
No, yes. The war in Afghanistan, the war against terror. So shot by an enemy combatant in the war on terror. Doesn't matter if he's in the same uniform.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another rant that I want to get off is.
Oh, too bad. We're out of time.
Save it.
No, seriously, we can't do a super long show again. That killed me.
All right. Well, I'll just end on my one tease last. Level. Well, no, I've got to give it out as a PSA. I could talk about it next time, but one of those like. For all the lefties or people butthurt out there, stop getting your fucking young kids involved.
That's child abuse.
My kids are so scared about Trump.
Because you're scaring the shit out of
that's
them.
It's so sad.
Yes. Yes.
So sad.
I do not like Barack Obama. I hope the doorknob hits him square in the ass on his way out. Like I hope it leaves a mark. I hope it leaves a permanent scar as it hits him in the ass on the way out. I did not get my daughter involved with that. Granted, she's very young, but at the same time, my daughter did ask me as I was contemplating selling a house that I'm currently renovating on and moving away from my family because I'm concerned that I'm going to get thrown in prison by our fucking attorney general.
Oh, Jesus.
For essentially an ex post facto crime.
Yep.
But that's going through and it's still law of the land right now. I could be arrested right now, still technically.
And your Republican governor supports that.
What's that knock on the door? Weird. You better go answer that.
Yeah, exactly. No, hold on. Let me get the FAL. That I'm going to be spending 8 years in prison for.
When I said Republican, I was making air quotes just so you know.
Well,
you know, like Bill Weld.
Yeah. Or Willard Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right.
but my daughter said, you know, what's the matter, daddy? And I just said, you know what? I just got some bad news. And that was it. I'm not going to fucking go on and tell my daughter what an evil person Mara Healy is and pull up my tablet so I can show her a picture of Mara Healy.
Yeah.
And I mean, it goes both sides. I heard some fucking dipshit Republican news guy or talk radio guy talking about like, oh, his grandson hates Obama and his grandson's like 4 or 5.
Oh, good
like,
Lord.
Oh, come on.
You. That's ridiculous.
You know, I mean, children have enough monsters under their beds and boogeymen and scary things out in the world. They don't need to be like traumatized by adult politics. They just don't.
That's a whole nother show.
And
children traumatized by adult politics.
And thinking of this, I remember distinctly, seeing Ronald Reagan and knowing who Ronald Reagan was, you know, on the TV.
Yeah.
And just going, oh, that's the president. That's cool. You know, that's just, that is a thing that's in this world that I live in, you know, and, he's the president of our country. That's, you know, and just thinking that's cool, cool, cool. And then I remember standing between my mom's knees in the voting booth while she voted for Walter Mondale.
Oh,
and just, I just.
It was her?
The one vote.
She was the vote he got?
No, she was the vote he got. I know. But again, for her to be someone that voted for fucking Walter Mondale, she had to despise Reagan. Yeah. I didn't hear fucking peep of it. Good.
Good.
All right. Well, good night, internet. I'll rant again next week.
Y'all have a good weekend. Try to stay out of the riots and rejoice.
Yep.
The lizards. Lizards are going to need a new Hillary suit.
Oh God. Okay. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.